It's the trade. It's time for another exciting episode of the trades.
I mean, I am about to have to either find us a new podcast host or actually pay money to use Podomatic. So we're practically a business now. I mean, it's not expensive and there's a 50% off deal, so I might just do that because I don't want to have to move all our files again. But yeah, we've used all of the free storage space from Podomatic. So if we do more podcasts, I have to either find us somewhere new with unlimited storage, or I have to pay like $10 per year to continue to host it there. So I don't know which of those I would rather do. It comes down to how lazy I think I am.
It's the end of the trades due to the goddamn crushing heel of capitalism.
No, you're not getting out of the trades that easily.
Damn
That
capitalism.
no,
Damn to hell.
no, no, no. It's not now. The trades ending was never on the table, sir. The trades is eternal. We're gonna be doing the trades when we're in our 40s.
That's very true.
Yeah, it's non-optional at this point. Jeremy Hawkins is still gonna be the only person who listens to it.
Jeremy, listen to it 100 times each.
I did still get weekly updates on like I guess stats, and I'm pretty sure there's got to be bots or something because it alleges that 15 people downloaded the trades this past week, but we didn't put up a new episode. So who the fuck is
Maybe
downloading the trades?
we actually have a fan besides Jayhawks.
I mean, I guess now that we have the thing with women write about comics, it's possible. It is not outside of the question that someone we don't know listens to this podcast. But wow, what a thought.
There's so many people. Did you know there's like over 1 billion people in the world?
That's pretty stressful.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm for that, to be honest. I feel like we could reconsider people. Just reconsider people.
That's Trump's slogan.
Oh no.
Reconsider people.
Now I feel bad. That's okay.
We can make it Hillary's. It works both ways.
Yeah, it does, unfortunately. I mean, any politician is going to be interested, at least as of how the government works now, is going to be interested in defining citizenship and defining personhood such that some people are on the outside of it. Arguably, that's an essential function of social discourse, but I just mean it that I don't like crowds or small groups of people or talking to anybody one-on-one. So people are fine except for those three things.
That's fair.
I'm remarkably ideologically consistent that way. So I don't know how much of that is going to make it into the podcast because I still want people to like me at the end of this.
It's all jest. It's all jokes. Well, not. It's all
Make
critical
me.
discourse and jokes and personal feelings.
I think that describes everything there is. So yes, that is true. Comic books?
Wait. Yeah.
I
Sorry,
feel like
that got derailed.
our detour was just getting detourier. I wasn't sure how to bring that back, except for just saying the words comic books and believing in our ability to get there.
It works. What are you reading? What's your hot takes?
Couple things. I haven't really been going to the comic book store lately. Mostly because it's raining all the time now, so I don't wanna.
Someday I'm gonna look back on this as the most boring 2 years of my life, where I was like, well, actually, it was rainy and cold, so I literally never went anywhere. I lived in a hub of young people and liberalism, and I stayed in my house 24/7 because it was raining and I didn't like that.
That's very
It means I've been sort of reading whatever I can get off the internet, both in terms of stuff I can order from the internet, which we'll talk about shortly. Did you get the stuff I mailed you? Has it reached you?
it has.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
It's a very I will tell you, yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, I'm just glad it made it intact. I was a little worried about the way I packaged it, which was woefully irresponsible. But
Oh, immaculate.
yeah, we'll talk about that later. So stuff I can order off the internet, e.g. Shortbox, which is exciting and which we should talk about, because we've read some of the same stuff for once, probably. Unless you haven't read it yet, which is very valid, in which case we have not, and we'll just talk about the fact that it's a box. Well, by the time it got to you, it was two separate pieces of cardboard surrounding other comics, so not a box, but box-like. And then also, I'm still reading fucking scanslations of manga, because I have given up on a lot of things in my life. No, that's not true. Let me rein that back in. Let me be cheerful about my life again. Maze, if you step on this keyboard, you're gonna turn into cat fritters.
You've been warned.
That would be a waste of perfectly good cat meat. Yeah, so still reading those because it's hard to do things. And it's very easy to just go read a lot of scansellations. You can just oh, but also I caught up mostly on Helper, which we talked about a while back.
Nice.
That comic is good as shit. That comic is so good. I don't know, it's hard not to rehash a bit since a lot of what I've been reading has just been keeping up with stuff we've already talked about.
So,
Like stuff on study group. Titan is getting good, but you didn't like Titan that much, I don't think. That's
Titan was
it's the
the
one in space, with labor politics in space. That's also that's the guy I dropped a table on at Land Rook Northwest. So it all
there it
comes
is.
together.
No, I like that. That is what made me be like, oh, yes.
I did talk about it a lot because I felt very bad about dropping a table on that man. So I think that sort of rode over whatever previous opinion you had on it. Yeah, so that's been updating. I think it was not updating for a while. Have you been reading Richard Sala's new serial, The Bloody Cardinal?
Yes. It's interesting. It's very good.
So, disclosure, I like it much less than I liked Chuckling What's It. And I think that's because I'm reading it as a serial. I think with a mystery story, it's much more pleasant to sort of read it in one go. Versus as a web comic, because with mysteries, if you want to be engaged in them, you have to remember details. That's kind of the premise of the read-along style mysteries, or at least the I don't know. I have a lot of opinions that are extremely half-baked on whether or not people actually are supposed to try to solve mysteries as they read, but certainly for new information to like for detailed reveals to matter at all, you have to remember shit that happened previously.
Right.
And I tend to lose that with web comics. Like I tend to just be like, who the fuck is this? So
I'm with you. That's like one of the things I have with the Bloody Cardinal. It's the mystery. I just like Solo when he's doing monsters and like pulp cult stuff. The mystery is a little bit. The art is amazing, but the story I'm not that into.
Yeah. Which, it's funny because Chuckling Wetsit was such a good story, I thought. I loved the writing in Chuckling Wetsit.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, scrolling through Bloody Cardinal now, I'm like looking at the, I guess he's like a Frankenstein-y looking dude. So good. So good. Richard Sala draws the best monsters of any creature in the, like, God. God damn, Richard Sala. God damn. You can draw so many monsters, and I love it. It reminds me a little bit of, and I don't know if this is fair or true or reasonable, but something about the way he draws reminds me of the old Johnny Quest cartoons.
What part, what specifically, like,
Oh man, I know I always call you when you say something, and then I'm like, okay, but what specifically, now I'm like, it reminds me of this thing, I don't know why. I think it's, all I can think of to do is to compare it to Clean Line, or Clear Line, like, Tintin-y shit, which isn't really, that's not really it, though. The Hanna-Barbera sort of tradition of drawing is distinctly different from Clear Line, and importantly different. But the kinds of stylizations about people's bodies and kind of the clothes, even, now that I'm looking at pictures of Johnny Quest on the internet. Like,
that's going to be a fun trip for the NSA. Memory Road.
Man, I loved Johnny Quest as a kid, and now as a human adult, I'm like, this was probably problematic, but I don't want to think about it too much.
No, it was lighthearted. Lighthearted, fair.
Yeah.
Hey, one scientist, an Indian kid, a dog, and a surrogate dad.
Yeah, that's a Modern Family.
yeah. Modern Family has to do an episode. Okay, never mind.
I think it might just be the combination of sort of fantastic, in the sense of like fantasy fodder settings, and then extremely normie looking. Stylized dudes that are making me think of Johnny Quest.
It's an adventure story too.
That is for sure true. Got, sorry, go ahead. Say the things.
It's definitely got the backgrounds of like long hallways, open areas, and then it'll cut to like a dark cave with a. I think there's actually an adult Ganji in it, because there's a dude with a turban and sunglasses, and it's basically Ganji. That's not his name, is it?
I don't know. It has been so long since I actually, like, watched any Johnny Quest. I mean, I think that 60s cartoon look is an influence on Sala. Is something I either read or imagined that I read. Fuck. I'm doing such a bad job talking about this.
For sure.
I think the adventure story part of it is you're dead on to identify that as the similarity. In the kinds of set pieces, like you said, the long hallway, but also the, like, investigator with a jaunty hat and a notebook, or the lady with a plinth hat and goggles for some goddamn reason. Those are all 60s cartoony looking set pieces. And it's, I guess, also the ways that sort of adventurer as like combination archaeologist, anthropologist, antiques dealer, probably criminal, to be honest.
Is there a difference between antique dealers and thieves?
No, there is not. Just ask Harvard.
Harvard steals things.
Yeah, the joke is that the Peabody Museum and shit is full of stolen stuff. So yeah, I mean the sort of fictional antiquities too are what I'm sort of stuck on because Sala draws them real nice. Like he draws fictional like artifacts in a way that's really delightful. And probably when you get into it, the politics of it are bad.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at some stuff on one of the pages of the Bloody Cardinal that looks sort of faux Mayan. And I'm like, this is a really pleasing design. Like it's a really interesting looking picture he's done. But probably if we think about it's unethical. Like if we think about it even slightly, there are very obvious problems with that entire adventure set piece. But he draws so good.
Yeah, he's very. This is just gonna sound bad. It's very like Art Deco style drawings. It's very classical.
Wouldn't have thought of Art Deco, but I kind of see it in some of the interest in geometric stuff going on in his work, and the interest in like angular sharp details, including in figures. I don't know, when I think of Art Deco, I mainly think of weirdo buildings. So doing that thoughtful jump to how that gets stylized into less abstracted stuff, like Sala, is something that I have to stretch to do, but that doesn't mean you're wrong. That means that I'm not thinking very carefully about this. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting in part because Art Deco was very interested in glamour. Some of Art Deco was very interested in like lionizing the working class and like certain visions of labor, because it was coming up in the 20s and 30s, so right as the Popular Front in the United States is up to some shit. So you can see some really fascinating like memorials to labor figures, and like firefighters and shit, just thinking of Portland. But then it's also like deliberately very glamorous and modernist. And Sala is very interested in the dingy. Like, I think that's not just because he's drawing a lot of rats and abominations unto God, but like back alleys, curiosity stores that are sort of on the skids. So that's a really interesting comparison to make, to think about sort of the ways that visually we can maybe compare it to some of those modernist styles, but it's like deliberately very dingy. That's exciting.
Dinginess is my favorite part. I like when Sala gets very murdery and like mystical. I like the way he draws blue smoke and
I think, yeah, I mean, that might be another place where I. Oh, wow, I'm looking at the chapter title to part three, and the house in the background of it has got some, like, really almost cubist shit going on with it, where it looks decidedly modernist in that way. So, like, actually, Deco was a good call in ways that are. Potentially quite fruitful. But yeah, no, his interest in mysticism, like as a a palette as a setting, and then as something that he just draws real nice, is maybe where I was drawing part of that Johnny Quest connection as well. Because motherfuckers get hypnotized every single episode in Johnny Quest. They just will not stop hypnotizing motherfuckers. Like, crystals have various effects. You know, it's... Okay, it's obviously... It's transparently Orientalist. In a very 60s way. Some of Sala's mysticism borrows from that as well, maybe? Maybe that's the connection.
My favorite part is... It's a spoiler. Fuck it.
Do it. Come on, when have we given a shit about spoilers?
Very true. When Claire is like, finally finds the book, and she's in this weird hobo cave.
Mm-hmm.
It's the altercation when the dude jumps on her back. The way Saul uses colors to amplify scenes is very cool. It sets, it makes it funner to read. I like Saul because he actually makes me feel things. like fear, and sometimes even joy or sadness.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we talked about Chuckling What's It, we were both like, it was so weird to read a horror comic that was actually scary. Because it was. It was actually scary. And I guess, to me, some of that tension was lost with Bloody Cardinal just because of the webcomic format necessitating a much longer pause between scary thing to scary thing. But flipping back through it now, yeah, like within individual scenes, the ways that he'll color stuff, the ways that he'll color violence is... Oh, wow. I'm looking at one of the pages where what's-her-name kicks the sketchy guy with super long hair and he, like, gets fucking impaled on, like, a random bit of wood, I guess. And that sequence is gorgeous and gross. And, man, I've never seen an impaling I didn't like. I'm an old-fashioned gal at heart. I'm just a sucker for people getting unexpectedly impaled right through the guts. It just, it's the romantic in me.
Quickest way to the heart is impalement.
But something about it is beautiful and visceral and gross, and when it's combined with the ways that he's drawn that head wound, yeah, it's like, that is some fucking gore, y'all. Also, I guess anytime people have weird and missing teeth, I freak out immediately, but I think that's more my particular fear than it is anything specific. But it's nice of him to include that. What?
Teeth are terrifying.
God, they're so bad. The only thing worse than teeth is missing teeth, so it's no solution, really. Yeah, the ways this dude's eyes are drawn, the sort of sketchy Frankenstein-y mummy man, the ways his, like, eye sockets are happening, and then he gets eaten by rats. Happy Halloween, everybody! This comic is gross, and also stylized in a way that it's like, wow, this is beautiful and fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it's very upsetting, but I also would put it, if I could just blow up that panel, I would get a poster of it. Saul, if you're listening, I will buy your posters. I'm not joking.
He's selling Halloween cards. They're a little bit more in the vein of pinup than in the vein of gore, unfortunately. Because I think people who would be willing to send cards with a dude getting eaten by rats is kind of a niche demographic. Unfortunately. If we could petition Richard Sala to reconsider...
It's not that hard. I'll pay... No, I won't. I will pay a reasonable amount of money.
Yeah, so... That comic is good. Still reading that. What's your Have you read anything new recently, or have any events unfolded in other things that we've talked about before that you're like, hell yeah, this is new and cool?
I feel like I always talk about this one, but I love it so much. Kami-sama, no, I see the
Let me bring that one back in. Yes, Kami-sama no Ayatone.
Listen, yes, it is gore porn, and it's heavy-handed and pretty questionably, it's fan servicey, but it is one of the most interesting comics I've read in a very long time. Because it's literally a god getting bored and just being like, all you high school kids play a bunch of fucked up weird games, and then one of you will surpass me as god. But I can also explode you whenever I want because I'm sick. Also, I'm not really God. But then you're like, wait, you're not God? And then it spirals from there, and it's finally wrapping up. There's only like five people left, and the last issue made me cry. It was beautiful.
Okay. All right, well, I don't want to slight anything that causes you to feel genuine emotions in a way that is useful and productive to you. I support people experiencing catharsis. While I don't personally understand it, I want to be supportive.
Thank you. I'm sorry I got heated.
No, that's okay. I still think the series sounds bad and I don't want to read it, but I support you.
So last time they're playing Old Maid, and a bunch of people have exploded, and they're finally, one of them has surpassed the level of God and is going to the final game, which is, I don't know, because they're basically killing the person off who was supposed to be the whole ringleader behind this, and it turns out it wasn't somehow. It's confusing, but it's also very bloody and emotional because the two main characters of each series have finally met up and are joining forces. And one of them basically said, you know what? I'm an arbiter of chaos and destruction. I don't really care what happens to anybody. I'm just gonna win and wait for you all to meet me there. So there's basically a whole new big bad, to borrow the vernacular of nerds everywhere.
Yeah,
Yes, I've seen a lot of, I've watched Buffy a lot. You can either side with Fiona or side with me on this one. But I think it's great, and I think
Whoa.
everybody should read it. And I apologize for nothing.
I wasn't trying to make you apologize for liking things. Goodness gracious. I feel like I've turned into the villain on this podcast for not being interested in titty murders.
It's not titty murders. There's no exposed titties or that much fan service. It's weird that they call it fan service, but that's what they call it. I don't know. I don't know why. Because most fans are perverts. But this one is not that fan servicey. It's pretty much beautiful teens getting murdered for 250 chapters.
I think that might be the real place where I'm like, I support you. I support you. I am unable to fathom reading 250 chapters of the same teens getting murdered. Like, I like slasher movies. Slasher movies are the definition of titty murders, but they're over in about 2 hours.
So, to me, if you can't murder all the teams in about 2 hours, you're pretty inefficient, really. I support you.
Thank
I support you. I support you. I support you.
It's all the teams in the world. It's not just one school. It's
Literally
what,
every team.
like, every teen in the world, from Japan to the US to Germany, are pitted against each other to find out which one is able or most capable of becoming God.
Wait, so literally one teen is going to survive. I have some questions about the outcome of the human race.
Yeah, they basically get to reshape the world after they win.
Okay. My question was more about people younger than teens.
Oh no, they're all screwed.
Okay, so it's not only teens are plucked out of their. Why am I trying to kibitz the details on a series I don't care about? Never mind. Never mind.
You're into it. Just try it. It's great.
No, I'm not. I have shit to do. I have to write application essays. I've not really started doing that yet, so I cannot read any more murders. I have to stop.
Okay. I won't give up, but
You should give up. That sounded bad. I support you. Just gonna keep coming back to that because that's the essential point. I'm not gonna read it, but I support you.
okay.
All right.
Well, you win some, you lose some. But if anybody reads this and wants to talk to me about it, I don't know, find me.
Yeah, the same. Maybe if anybody wants to go on long walks and talk about their feelings about teens getting murdered, do you have a Twitter that we can plug for these people to find you? I don't know. However, it is that people want to find Aaron.
No, they can just Google search. My Twitter is too depressing.
That's fair. You can just find him. I don't know. He's got an email. I can put you in touch. I'll be the matchmaker for people to talk to you about teen murders. Yeah, so you're still reading that. You're presumably going to be reading that until every teen is dead.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Anything else new and exciting in your world of comics? Or I guess that's less anything else, but because that is neither new nor ex I mean it's not new. So is there anything else in your world of comics?
I did read the Your Black Friend one. I haven't read all of the ones.
Yeah, so Ben Passmore is your black friend.
Yes, yeah. I enjoyed that a lot. It was very well drawn, and I did have to look up to see if he was white afterward, because I was like, if this is by a white person, it just negates the whole thing. But it's got great art. It's really cartoony in a fun way, which makes the serious stuff even more strange.
Yeah, he can really fucking draw. The other thing I have from him, and I didn't even realize it was the same guy until I followed him on Tumblr, is he did a comic for the Mitch Clem organized collection, As You Were, which is like punk comics, which I'm gonna see if I can stand up to find it without knocking my laptop over. So I might have regifted it to someone when I was moving, because that is something I've done with a lot of comics. Because I don't want to be a hoarder. Probably. I might could. It's still definitely possible.
Their apartment looks nice, by the way.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I'm very privileged to live in this house. Now that I own two lamps, it's a much nicer place to be.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, well, I can't find it. Although, I guess this is kind of a weird plug that I feel like I should make, is As You Were is surprisingly really good. I shouldn't say surprisingly, because I've been a fan of Mitch Clem since I was 12, which is awkward for everyone involved in that sentence. Because he's old now. And I'm old now. We're all old now. But As You Were from Silver Sprocket is edited by Mitch Clem and has all the comics are really short, but it's got a surprising sort of who's who of punk kids doing comics, including my fave for all eternity, Liz Suburbia, who I've also been a fan of since I was like 12 or 13. So, God bless us, everyone. But yeah, he did a comic that was like housemate. Ben Passmore did a comic that was like housemates resolving their punk housemate problems with each other, but through like a fantasy D&D quest style world. So it was things like they wouldn't do the dishes and they had to like fight the dishes monster or something. And it's drawn in that kind of that same style. And it is amazeballs.
Oh, I'll have to look that up.
I think he posted it on Tumblr or whatever. It's Dayglow A-hole is his Tumblr. A-hole spelled AY and glow spelled GLO. And that was in. I'm probably like summarizing this comic extremely badly, so full disclosure, it's been a long time since I read it, and it looks like I gave away that issue. But it was good. It was. He draws a lot of really good stuff. And it's exciting to me that. And I want to hear more of your thoughts on it if you have more thoughts that you want to share. But my brief thought that I have on it. That I feel entitled to have. Yikes. It's exciting to me that that comic was in Short Box, because Short Box is organized by Zainab Akhtar, who is a comics critic in England. I know she's in the UK. I can't remember if she's in England or like Scotland. I want to say it's England. And she's written a lot about being Muslim in comic spaces, and being not white in comic spaces, and like how shitty that experience has been for her as someone who is a really respected critic, actually, by a lot of people, and then also still going to shows and getting a ton of unpleasant shit from white people. So now that she's organizing, Short Box as a sort of a curated comics collection. It's exciting to me that this is sort of the artistic vision that she's following through with, kind of the same way. And that's not fair or true, so I'm gonna make a bad connection, but it's fine. But you remember how excited we were about Island as Brandon Graham's, like, this is his taste in comics, and we like this guy, so we're excited to see what the fuck his sort of aesthetic for. This is what comics can be, would be.
Yes.
I see Short Box as Zainab kind of getting to make that same call by being a distributor. And that's really exciting to me. And that the people who were selected and the kinds of stories that were selected to be in this Short Box, and I think I missed the first Short Box, so fuck if I know what's in it. Yeah, it's a delight to me that this kind of curatorial vision is happening for indie comics, and that this is what it's ending up looking like. So that's my hot take, is like it's very meta. I love the comic itself because it's obviously fantastically drawn, but you know, there's not a lot I can really say about it, so. That's my sort of meta comment on what Short Box is and how good Short Box is. So.
I'm gonna For people interested, how do you get a short box?
Follow Zainab on Twitter. And then when she posts about how you can get more comics, that's how that... I think Shortbox actually has its own Twitter. It does. It's short underscore box on Twitter.
I'm gonna look that up. I like being told what to do, I've come to realize, as I age. Not all the time, but, like, when it comes to new content, I like suggestions.
That's real, yeah, I think. I am generally very skeptical of curated boxes of anything, and I have been... I loved, I think, every single comic in the new... in Shortbox 2. I loved Heavy Air, if only because it's about sort of council estates a little bit, and I've been thinking about almost nothing but the preservation of brutalist public housing because I love brutalism. So it was a really opportune moment for something that is thinking about living in places. Diana's Electric Tongue was really, really good, I thought. And like the kind of science fiction that manages to be about technology as social extrapolation without being dystopian or reductive. So that was neat. Yeah, Shortbox, Zainab's taste, for the most part, is something that I really trust. There was only one comic in the whole batch that I was like, I could have lived without this. But yeah, I think that's mostly because I don't really love recipe comics. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I think if I were actually good at cooking, I might feel differently. but I'm extremely shit at cooking. I can make like two curries and I can fry an egg and that's kind of where I'm at. So I was looking at it and I'm like, well, I'm never going to do this and I'm never going to do this and I'm never going to do this. And all of this has meat in it. So, but that's not necessarily a criticism of the comic. Although I did think the like gangsta up your ramen bit was in very poor taste.
I have not read that, but I think... Ooh, I might have to. When they say gangster up, what does that mean?
Let me bite that back. I gotta stop reacting to things before I've thought about how reacting to things will look. So that comic is available for free online, so other people can check it out as well. But it's basically just, like, do things like add a bouillon cube to your broth or, like, fry an egg and then put the egg on your ramen. But the way that she's chosen to sort of dress up giving those instructions is she drew herself with, like, gold chains and being like, pimp your ramen. And I'm like, this is bad. So it's not, like... the worst thing that anyone has ever done, but I don't think it's in great taste.
Yikes.
Yeah, I'm trying not to, like, come down too hard on anything because I know that I tend to err on the side of harsh judgment.
We need more harsh judgment in this world, but from the right people.
Yeah.
There are too many... Not every one of your cats are cute, internet.
Whoa, hold the fucking phone. Yeah, they are. All cats are beautiful, Aaron. All cats are beautiful.
All right.
Otherwise...
I'll table it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. here we go. So I'm looking at the comic is Pimp My Ramen. And she's drawn herself with what looks like a visor and a gold chain, and she's doing, like, this thing with her hands, which, like, I guess, bud. And Yo-yo, so I hear sometimes days are hard and finances are tight. In that case, dog, DWG, I'm gonna help you out with my new show. So it's clearly like a riff on Pimp My Car or Pimp My Ride. And then that mostly isn't part of the rest of the comic because it's just like, here's how to make some ramen better. But she continues to draw herself with the glasses and the gold chain through it a little bit. And it's now you have the greatest bowl of ramen, especially if you followed all my advice and put every damn thing in the bowl. See you next episode for Pimp Yo Rice. Where it's like,
Yeah.
was that a good move? I do not think so. Is it most of the comic? No. Does that make it good or okay? Also, no, in my opinion. But
What a world.
yeah. And I don't want to dwell on it because I don't know if that's a fair use of anybody's time, but it was definitely something that stuck out to me as like not a good move. I don't know, you own the comic now, so you can draw your own conclusions.
Oh, I'll probably do that tonight. Yeah, after the improv.
Oh, hell yeah, hell yeah. You got improv practice tonight. You sound so tired, buddy.
I'm trying to like tire myself out irresponsibly to not like to obsess and create abscesses all over my skin. And
Abscesses are bad. That's a fact.
abscesses are very bad. And I'm trying to avoid those things by moving as much as possible.
That's real. That is real and good. Okay, do you have, because we're about to hit an hour, do you have more comic thoughts that you have on either Ben Passmore's comic or anything else you've read?
I got nothing.
Cool. I really talked too much this episode. I'm sorry, the universe.
Thanks you. You have a great voice and good opinions.
Yeah. Okay, yay, it's the trades.
Always. Yes.
I'm gonna end recording. Hooray, the trades! Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, you can find us on Facebook, The Trades Podcast. You can find us on Podomatic, thetrades.podomatic.com. Okay, thanks. Bye.